The whole city garrison had turned out to keep the angry crowd at bay. Archers were poised on roofs, and soldiers armed with shields and unsheathed swords threatened any who approached too close. A regally dressed man in a judge's robe and a scribe approached the stocks. When they reached the center of the square, the scribe handed a parchment to the judge. The sheriff raised his whip.
Silence!
The judge held up the parchment.
For the crimes of conspiracy against Her Royal Eminence Modena Navronian, the new empire, Maribor, and all humanity. For slander against His Excellency, the Empress's Imperial Viceroy. And for the general agitation of the lower classes to challenge their betters. It is hereby proclaimed good and right that punishment be laid immediately upon these criminals. Those guilty of conspiracy are hereby ordered to be flogged 20 lashes and spend one day in the stocks, not to be released until sunset. Those guilty of treason will receive 100 lashes, and if they remain alive, will be left hanging until they expire from want of food and water. Anyone attempting to help or lend comfort to any of these criminals will be likewise found guilty and receive similar punishment.
He rolled up the parchment.
Sheriff Weigen, you may commence.
With that, he thrust the scroll into the hands of the scribe and promptly walked back the way he had come. With a nod from the sheriff, a soldier approached the first stock and ripped open the back of the young mother's dress. The knots bit into the pale skin of her back, and she danced in pain. Stroke after stroke fell, with the scribe standing by, keeping careful track. By the time it was done, her back was red and slick with blood. The crowd, already quiet, grew deadly still as they came to the woman from Kilnar.
No! No! No, please!
The sheriff and his deputies took turns whipping her, as the day's heat made such work exhausting. The fatigue in their arms was evident by the wild swings that struck the woman high on her shoulders, as well as low on her back, and occasionally as low as her thighs. The whipping continued, and by the time the scribe counted 60, the woman merely hung limp. A physician approached the post, lifting her head by her hair.
She's dead.
The scribe made a note of this. They did not remove her body. The sheriff finally moved to Emery. He stood defiant as the soldier with the whip approached him.
Killing me will not change the truth that Viceroy Andros is the real traitor and guilty of killing King Yoreth and the royal family.
He didn't cry out, but gritted his teeth as the knots turned his back into a mass of blood and pulpy flesh. By the last stroke, he also hung limp and silent, but everyone could see him breathing. The physician indicated such to the scribe, who dutifully jotted it down. As the crowd began to disperse, Arista turned to Royce.
Those people didn't do anything. They're innocent.
You, of all people, know that isn't the point.
Arista whirled. She opened her mouth, hesitated, and then shut it.
Ulrich had 12 people publicly flogged for inciting riots when the church was kicked out of Melengar. How many of them were actually guilty of anything?
Well, I'm sure that was necessary to keep the peace.
The Viceroy will tell you the same.
This is different. Mothers weren't whipped before their children, and women weren't beaten to death before a crowd.
True. It was only fathers, husbands, and sons who were whipped bloody and left scarred for life. I stand corrected. Melengar's compassion is astounding.
Arista glared at him, but could say nothing. As much as she hated it, as much as she hated him for pointing it out, she realized what Royce said was true.
Don't punish yourself over it. Powerful control the weak, the rich exploit the poor. It's the way it's always been, and how it always will be. Just thank Maribor you were born both rich and powerful.
But it's not right!
What does right have to do with it? With anything? Is it right that the wind blows, or that the seasons change? It's just the way the world is.
Are you really that indifferent?
I like to think of it as practical. And living in Ratibor for any length of time has a tendency to make a person very practical.
Royce glanced sympathetically at Hadrian, who had been quiet since leaving the church.
Compassion doesn't make house calls to the streets of Ratibor, now or 40 years ago.
Royce, I'm going to take a walk. I'll see you two back at the nest in a little while.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Hadrian moved away with the crowd.
I feel bad for him.
Best thing that could have happened. Hadrian needs to understand how the world really works and get over his childish affection for ideals. You see Emery up there? He's an idealist, and that's what eventually happens to idealists, particularly those that have the misfortune of being born in Ratibor.
But for a moment, he might have changed the course of this city.
No, he would only have changed who was in power and who wasn't. The cause would remain the same. Power rises to the top like cream and dominates the weak with cruelty disguised as, and often even believed to be, benevolence. When it comes to people, there is no other possibility. It's a natural occurrence like the weather, and you can't control either one.
Arista thought for a moment and glanced skyward.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.